Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
I'm Whitney Walters. I live here in Duluth. I'm an assistant professor here at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Today I'll be reading my piece, Valuable Skills, which was published in Red Weather from Minnesota State University Moorhead. My grandpa Bannock told me numerous times when I was young, "If you can learn to read, you can learn to do anything." Each time he said this, he said it with the conviction that the facts could not be any other way, and I believed him. I have loved to read for as long as I can remember. When my parents took me in to meet the teacher, and my 2B kindergarten teacher, Miss Shablewski, asked me to read a few words, I was so proud that I could. Reading stuck with me from childhood, along with its sibling, writing. In elementary school, I went to the Young Writers Conference at Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota, where I spent a day in mini workshops making paper out of shredded wet wood pulp, writing stories, and crafting poems. In high school, I joined the school newspaper staff and generated interesting stories with strong focuses. I majored in English literature in college and earned a Master of Fine Arts degree in creative writing. All along, I have lost hours by devouring the contents of books, often into the wee hours of the morning, and my grandpa's advice has been in the back of my mind. But despite his assertion of the strong importance of reading, Grandpa Bannock is not an avid reader himself. When he reads, it takes a prolonged amount of time for him to get through the piece. While Grandma Bannock finished my 170-plus page MFA thesis in a week, he only reads 10 to 15 pages at a time before he gets a headache or tired from the effort. His vocabulary also limits his reading and writing ability, causing him to get frustrated. His print consists of block capital letters and sometimes a misspelled word, though the word is spelt like it sounds. These characteristics and his placement of worth on word literacy make his effort to read something I've written more meaningful to me. Perhaps they are also why I find my skills valuable. But for all my book learning, I wish I knew as much as he does about motors, hunting, electricity, plumbing, and carpentry. Grandpa Bannock describes himself as a jack of all trades but a master of none, in that he can fix nearly anything, but has no formal training or education beyond high school. He started working with local carpenters when he was in ninth grade and kept building his comfort level in a shop setting. When confronted with something that needs to be fixed, he is much like MacGyver, in that he uses quick problem solving and what tools are at hand to repair the issue. He rarely goes out to buy something new, partially because his skills don't require him to, and partially because he prefers to find what he needs at garage sales and then fix them if needed. I want to acquire the versatile knowledge that all previous generations of my family carry, from growing up on farms and the ability to independently complete manual tasks. My dad's ability to do things is the reason he taught me to change my own car oil, a task I watched him do so many times as I grew up. Simply learning how to change my car oil isn't enough to stifle my desire to understand cars, though. I want to be able to get under the hood when something isn't working right, identify what's wrong, know how to fix it, and follow through with my diagnosis. Not just be able to point out where the window washer fluid goes in, clean my battery posts, and change my oil. I don't necessarily want to work in a mechanic shop, but I do want to know what car mechanics are talking about when I take my car in for jobs I can't do myself. When I was 20, I asked Grandpa Bannock to teach me how to drive a stick shift due to a few reasons. One being that my peers were impressed anytime somebody possessed that mechanical literacy. Perhaps more important to me, however, was the fact Dad knew how to from growing up on the farm, and Grandpa Bannock drove a charcoal gray stick shift Mazda truck when I was growing up. Grandpa swore he would teach me how to drive it when I was old enough, but unfortunately he had to get rid of the truck before he had a chance to. As a small girl, I climbed into the truck cab to sit in the middle of the brown bench seat next to Grandpa Bannock. A small 2x4-inch tear-off white calendar was stuck on the dash, tools were often on the floor, and the interior smelled like his Marlboros. Before he started the truck, I would trace the strange double H picture on the stick handle and count the alternating 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, R. After making sure I had my seatbelt on, he'd back out of the driveway and head toward wherever we were going. In one of my clearer memories, we were on Marion Road in Rochester, Minnesota. Each time we had to pause at a stoplight, he moved the stick into neutral before telling me, "Okay, Whit, when the light turns green, we need to put it into gear. Are you ready to help me?" I studied the picture on the handle seriously and nodded, putting my hand over the hard brown plastic. "Here we go!" After pressing on the gas, he pushed in the clutch and put his hand over mine to push the stick forward into first gear, back into second, and finally into third. My adrenaline rose with the increase in speed as I watched the images blur beyond the window and felt the rhythm of the acceleration, the pause of the clutch, though I didn't know it then, and the change in gears. Though my memories as a young girl made it seem easy, learning how to drive a stick wasn't quite the same experience. One hot weekend in July, Grandpa Bannock prepared me to learn and practice driving a stick. I don't know how many times I jarringly started and stalled like a frantic jackrabbit hopping through the parking lot. Grandpa stayed surprisingly calm during my many starts, stalls, and bad shifts. He remained quiet and smoked a cigarette as I went through the motions, only making a comment when I killed the engine. I appreciated his unruffled composure because my frustration at failing to carry out the task successfully quickly grew. Each time the car jolted to a stop, Grandpa said something like, "You're almost there. Just held the clutch too long. Remember, back and forth with your feet. You'll get it this next time." I nodded as I gripped the wheel and took a breath, determined to master this one part of mechanical literacy. This was once common knowledge, I reminded myself. Dad did this in elementary school. Many would place the ability to read and write well on a different importance level than the ability to know how to drive a stick shift car. All things taken into consideration, I might too. But I don't think it means that driving a stick shift car has no value. Since learning how to drive one, I was in a minor situation where I needed that knowledge. My actions weren't instinctual, but I managed to move the car where it needed to be. So I place value on the liberal arts education I've earned, and on the blue-collar education I am working toward having. Though I can read theory about how to shoot a gun or wire a house for electricity, I won't credit myself as knowing how to do it until I physically go through the motions and put my knowledge into practice. Even then, I know it won't be as natural as Grandpa Bannock's instinctual motions he has settled into through years of experience, much like his reading ability paired against mine. We are both literate, but in different disciplines, and we both value the skills the other has, even though our motions may be slow and tentative as we practice and expand those less developed abilities. They say, if it's not broken, don't fix it, but I want to be able to fix it when it does break. Until then, I'll keep reading and learning to do anything.
To listen to this episode again or subscribe to the podcast, and for more information about this author and her work, go to kumd.org and click on Programs, then Women's Words. Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood. The assistant producer is Haley Westfall. Music by Sharon Isbin. Funding for this program is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.